God deliver Israel out of Egypt, watching him give them his commands, watching them not go in because of lack of faith, wander in the desert for 40 years. Finally, all that's behind us, and they're about to go into the promised land, which for you and I, of course, represents the victorious Christian life. And God, before they went in, had them send two spies and give us a beautiful lesson on faith. So let's start there in verse 1. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Chittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' It came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, and it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I've showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death.' And the men answered her, 'Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee.' Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, 'Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way.' And the men said unto her, 'We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear.' She said, 'According unto your words, so be it.' And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came into the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, 'Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us.'" So tonight we focus on this scarlet line. Amen. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord, and we praise you for your word that you preserve for us, Lord, and how it speaks to us. Even these things that were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Thank you. I pray you'll teach us, you'll speak to us, you'll convict us, whatever the need might be tonight. And Lord, that we'd be reminded that you're in control, and that, Lord, you want faith. You want us to trust and believe you, no matter what. So have your will in each of our hearts. May you be glorified and guide us in your truth. We love you so much and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God can use anyone. Isn't that exciting? It's right there in verse 1, in harlot's house. There's probably not many people that don't immediately, when you hear that word, think, oh, a harlot. So why would God put it in the Bible? Why a harlot's house? Well, we're going to find out later why, because our God is a God of mercy and grace and long-suffering, but he can use anyone. And here he's using an harlot in a Gentile city that's about to be destroyed to rescue and preserve the two spies of God, because they're about to come in and take Jericho. We know how that story goes. But what she showed was faith in Jehovah. And, you know, there's not a super long list of people in Hebrews 11 listed in the, what we call the Hall of Fame of Faith. But this woman's name is there. Look at chapter 11, verse 31 of Hebrews. Imagine now that we are over 3,000 years later, to know that your name has been read for 2,000 years since the New Testament was finished in the chapter about faith. That is true of Rahab, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Imagine getting your name written in this chapter for all of eternity. How beautiful is that? But she showed faith. If you go back to our chapter down in verse 9, look what she says. I know that the Lord, all caps, that's Jehovah, hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For starters, she said, I know that God is with you, which is why she chose to hide them. But look what she says in verse 10. In verse 10, she's showing more faith than the previous generation of Israelites that refused to go into the promised land. Look what she says. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Well, that first generation of Israelites was present for that event. When you came out of Egypt and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites, they were present for that. On the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, which he utterly destroyed. Isn't it something that here this heathen harlot has more faith in the God of the Bible than God's people? It's amazing when that happens. But verse 11, we see this first step toward her believing and trusting Jehovah and, in the Old Testament sense, getting saved. Notice verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Look at this phrase. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Amen. Your God, the God of the Bible, Jehovah. She's already declaring there's only one God. But he is the God of heaven and he is the God of earth. What's the Bible say? He that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is. Amen? Hebrews 11, 6. That he is. That's where it all begins. We must believe that he is. Look at John 8, 24. What did Jesus say in declaring himself as the I am? 12 times in John, he declared himself as the great I am. Especially at the end of this chapter, down in verse 58. But look in verse 24. He says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You cannot be saved until you understand the person of Jesus Christ, the person of God. But she understood. Your God, Jehovah, is the God of heaven and the God of earth. Wouldn't it be great if Israel lived that truth? But here we have a heathen harlot in a city about to be taken by Israel saying, he is the God in heaven above and he is the God in the earth beneath. Jesus said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Amen. John 6, 47. And we often talk about Romans 10. Confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart. God hath raised him. It starts with the person. It starts with God. And how many in the world are not willing to just start there? The God of the Bible is the God of the universe. And you must accept that he is the only true God. Then, of course, you need to accept sin and the consequences of sin, and that the only true God loved us enough to die for us and rise again and offer us eternal life. But it always starts with the person of God. And then her second declaration was, we'll look at it in a few minutes, but placing faith in the Word of God. Down in verse 21, she bound the scarlet line in the window. So she put her faith into action, didn't she? It's one thing to say she believed, it's another thing to carry through and do something about it. But we also see in this passage something interesting. You've probably noticed this in your Christian life, but when you win someone to the Lord, usually one of the first things they bring up is their family. My kids need to hear this. My parents need to hear this. My spouse needs to hear this. This instant desire for the family to know Jesus. Amen? And what did she say? She didn't just say, please save me. She said in verse 13, please save my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have. Everybody in my entire extended family, save them all. I like it that she asked big, open my mouth wide and I will fill it. Amen. But isn't that a good sign when someone immediately is interested in their family also being rescued? And then we see in verse 14, faith in the spies. The men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when. That word when is their faith, isn't it? They didn't say if. They didn't say if God gives us the land. They said when God gives us the land, which is the same thing that Joshua and Caleb had said 40 years earlier. Nobody would listen. It's ours. God's already promised it to us. Let's go. We know what the other 10 spies said. We can't do it. But that's gone. This is a new generation. These spies say when the Lord gives us the land, we will keep our oath. So, verse 18, why was it scarlet? Well, we all know the answer to that, don't we? Without shedding a blood, there is no remission. But something interesting, if you look down to verse 21, it's not called a scarlet thread. There it's called a scarlet line. You'll say, well, what's the big deal? Well, if you look up the Hebrew word behind that word line, which I did, I'm definitely not a Hebrew scholar, but it's easy to look those up. 32 of the 34 times that that Hebrew word occurs in the Old Testament, it's translated hope. How's that for interesting? Here it's translated line, but in almost 90% of the time, it's translated hope. Well, I would call that hope. Amen. That scarlet thread, that scarlet line that she hung out the window. And it, as I said in verse 19, whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house, his blood will be on his own head. Sound familiar? Remember the 10th plague? You had to be in the house that the blood had been applied to be rescued from the firstborn dying. Now it's the same thing. You have to be in the house that has the scarlet line. If you want to be rescued from destruction, only those associated with this scarlet line would survive. For you and I, we know who the scarlet line is. Amen. It's Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But really, what hope did this woman have outside of this scarlet line? None. The truth is, tomorrow, everyone else in her city will die. Think about that. Every single person in Jericho is going to die tomorrow. Speaking back then. Only Rahab and her family will live. And only the ones associated with the scarlet line. And so her second step of faith, if you will, was not only to declare that God is the God of heaven and the God of earth, but to say, I believe what they have told me. I believe that they will spare me if I put this scarlet line out the window. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this scarlet line out the window. She acted on her faith. And that's what we just read about in Hebrews 11:31. She placed faith in the words that they had spoken. Now, if you look over in John chapter 6, verse 17, we'll get there eventually, but we'll see where, sure enough, they honored their promise. It says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." Look down to verse 22. "But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had." Praise the Lord. And you know, that's enough if the story ended there, isn't it? I mean, this woman placed faith in Jehovah. She placed faith in the words that they had shared with her. She acted on that faith and believed. That would be enough, that she was spared in all that she had. But God didn't stop there. The rest of the story is absolutely amazing. Remember how God commanded Israel that they were only marry Jews. Amen? That had been a command for ages, and that they were not allowed to intermarry with the heathen nations around them. The two women that we read about in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, neither one of them were Jews. Think about that. Now that's the mercy of God. Amen. So, she was a harlot. She was a Gentile, not a Jew. And yet, imagine, God not only rewarded her with rescuing her and her family because of the scarlet line, but God even gave her the amazing privilege of being in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Gives you goosebumps. Let's look at it, Matthew chapter 1. Could there be a greater reward than to spend eternity in heaven knowing that in the flesh you were part of the genealogy of Jesus? Think about that. Matthew 1, verse 5, "And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab." Anybody ever heard of Boaz? You ever read the book of Ruth? Isn't that something? So I think it also gives us a little bit of insight of why Boaz wasn't afraid to fulfill his redeemer duty with a woman who wasn't a Jew. You know, because often people read the book of Ruth and think, why was Boaz so willing to mar his own family heritage and marry a Moabite? Well, because his own mother was Rahab the harlot. Isn't that something? His own mother. So he begat Obed, because it doesn't stop here. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat this guy you probably heard of, David. A man after God's own heart. So Rahab was not only given the privilege of being in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, but she was the great grand, great, great grandmother of David. Isn't that something? "Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Amen. We're told in Hebrews 11, "She perished not when she had received the spies with peace." She perished not with them that believed not, which would be the whole city of Jericho. But she said, I'm going to believe in Jehovah. I've heard what he has done. He rescued you out of Egypt. I've heard about that. I've heard about how you destroyed those kings on the other side of Jordan. I've heard about that. And I believe that your God is the God of the Bible, that your God is the only true God. I mean, almost every nation back then, other than Israel, believed in multiple gods, but not Rahab, the harlot, who became the great-great-grandmother of David, who became part of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Down at the end, we see the men in their faith. Verse 24. Truly the Lord, Joshua 2:24. Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. Amen. It's already ours. How long have we been talking about this land? How many months we've been talking about this land that they've been promised, that they've been waiting and waiting and waiting to go into? What does God want from us? He wants us to cross the Jordan River. He wants us to live the victorious Christian life. But we got to fight some battles to do it, as we will see. We got to fight for every city, because the devil's going to fight us, the flesh is going to fight us, the world is going to fight us, but it's all worth it. Amen? Like Caleb said, I want that mountain. I don't care how old I am, I want that mountain. I don't care if there's giants there, I want it. That should be our attitude. Let's take encouragement from Rahab, the woman who held the scarlet hope, we'll call it. Amen? The scarlet line out her window, who believed the words of the spies, who believed in Jehovah God, and who was not only spared, and her family was spared, and her extended family was spared. It said all that they have. We don't even know how many people it was, but it was a lot. Because people had a lot of kids back then. But then God said, I'm not only going to reward her with being saved physically, I'm going to let her, even though she's a Gentile, I'm going to let her be the great-great-grandmother of King David. I'm going to put her in the book of Matthew, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. How beautiful is that? Why was it scarlet? We all know the answer to that. Amen. The blood flows all the way through, doesn't it? We saw it in the book of Exodus. That blood of the Passover lamb, picturing the blood of Jesus Christ that would come in the future, that would rescue us from death. Hallelujah. The scarlet thread. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this beautiful chapter. We thank you for the faith of this woman and how you rewarded that faith in such beautiful ways. And Lord, I pray that we, like her, would never doubt you, your power, Lord, your willingness to answer our prayers as we live for you, Lord, your desire to use us and to go with us, and to protect us as we go forward and fight the battles we need to fight to live the life you want us to live. Please help us to have the courage that she had. And thank you.